You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to episode 15 of The Look Ahead. I am Rob Stats Guerrera of Niners Nation. Alongside me, as always, RJ Ochoa from Blogging the Boys. What's up, RJ?
Stats, my man. I'm having a great week. I hope you are. I'm excited for this episode of The Look Ahead, given that our two teams are squaring off. It feels like you and I square off sometimes. But so all of that is coming together in this perfect, like melting pot of cheese and stew and goo, and it sounds delicious, but it probably won't be.
Okay, we're already somewhere I never thought we would be 43 seconds into the pod.
Nice.
But it is that time of year, RJ. I don't know, it's probably not like this for you. I'm getting blasted right now with a blizzard of snow. It's freezing cold. We're 9 days till Christmas. There are four teams this week that can win a playoff spot if they win their game. There's two teams that can clinch their division with a victory. I mean, we are in the best time of the year right now.
I agree. I have a bit of a measurement that I apply, and I think that we'll see that this week, both on Thursday and the two Saturday games. And obviously we're in socially distanced times, but if the set that is at the stadium stats, you know, like they're off on the corner for the pregame show, if the set has poinsettias, you know it's a big time football game. You know, like you know that like important football is taking place, and so it's poinsettia season basically.
They start to put the Christmas lights on the score graphic.
And yeah, it gets like the light. Yeah, totally.
You know what? I dig it every year. Like I'm in for it. I'm here. That's good.
It never gets old, which is a lot of fun. I do want to say stats. And maybe this is like just giving away my whole thought process, but I had a thought that I was very excited to expound upon here with you. I think that 2020 has kind of become the year of the vindicated champion as far as major professional sports are concerned. You look at the NBA, the Lakers, not that they're like underdogs or anything, but it was long thought the moment LeBron James joined them, that's going to happen eventually. And it did, right?
Yes, I can confirm the Lakers won the title.
Okay. The Dodgers, right? There's the LA thing, but a team that had been knocking at the door really close and just kind of suffered these painful losses, but finally got that championship as well, right? Who would you say is the NFL equivalent of that? Like a team that was, you know, the Lakers aren't quite that, but that has been hovering and sort of deserves a title, if that makes sense.
I hate that word deserves, but if I had to pick a team, I think honestly, I would go with the Saints. They've had really good teams in the regular season, and then they get to the playoffs and weird stuff happens to the Saints. They had the play with the Rams in the NFC Championship game with the blown call. Mm-hmm. Then it was the Minneapolis Miracle with the Vikings. That, I mean, just weird stuff happens. I don't like the Saints, but I think it has to be them. Who is it for you?
I think, and I'm in a similar boat in that I don't like this team, although I've certainly come to respect them and admire them, and particularly their quarterback, I think it's the Green Bay Packers. I think they are – Aaron Rodgers is just at that point where he just deserves that second ring. Like, that talent – and look, your team beat him in the NFC title game last year. You got your stats. Don't worry about it. And I know he wanted
– Whooped him.
I just feel like, and he's just balling out. He's insane. And so it makes sense to me. But for what it's worth, I debated between the Packers and the Saints when I thought of this myself for the exact reason that you outlined. And although to that point, the Saints would feel kind of lame, no offense to Saints fans, with the fact that like I want to see Drew Brees through an entire season. It doesn't feel the same to me if he doesn't.
That's true. And we're, you know, supposedly he's practicing and maybe he's going to come back. I mean, the guy had 11 broken ribs. Take your time, Drew, please. But let's start with the Saints game this week, RJ. Saints, Chiefs, we think it's going to be Taysom Hill again. The Saints can win the division if they win, and the Chiefs can wrap up the number one seed if they win and get a little bit of help. They would need losses by Pittsburgh and Buffalo, but this is clearly the game of the week. It's exciting to me to watch what happens because I think that the Chiefs are just on another planet right now. Do you give Taysom Hill any shot in this one?
I do not, and I think that the shot he would have been given, all of that air was taken out with last week's loss in Philadelphia. I wouldn't doubt it if Andy Reid hit up, you know, Doug Peterson. Hey, what'd you see? What'd you like? What'd you not like? Because I have things that can work a billion times better than what you did, and you managed to beat this team. I am excited, Stats, in that this is the Kansas City offense is the second-ranked offense by DVOA. The New Orleans Saints defense is the second-ranked defense by DVOA. So this is, although, you know, the Taysom Hill factor looms so large because I would love to see a full game of this Saints defense versus this Chiefs offense. And I agree with you that the Chiefs are very difficult to stop. By the way, the number one offense by DVOA, the Green Bay Packers, no big deal. Anyway, but I just think Taysom weakens that defense because you get so many, not three and outs, but just stalled drives and weak drives that if you're doing that, if you can't start the car against the Chiefs, they're going to lap you several times over.
Here's what you need to beat the Chiefs. And I think last week, like, kind of crystallized it for me. In order for the Chiefs to lose, you need two things to happen. You need amazing quarterback play by your own guy, and you need an off night from Mahomes in the offense. And if you don't get both, you lose. Look at last week against Miami. The Chiefs turned the ball over four times. Mahomes threw three picks. And guess what? It didn't matter at all because the Dolphins did not have amazing quarterback play. You have to have that to beat the Chiefs. You need both of those things. And I don't think the Saints have it because Taysom Hill, I'm sorry, he ain't the guy. And I'm not buying into that Saints defense one bit either. So I don't think they're going to throw Mahomes off enough to get a win.
Do you think if you're the Saints, if you're Sean Payton, Stats Payton now, your favorite coach in the NFL, I don't want to say that like you can afford to lose this game, but you kind of can. And now that you're not, it does seem like you are a small tier below the Green Bay Packers. That one seed is somewhat out of reach. So why, you know, exhaust yourself for a two seed that means nothing in comparison to the three or four seed, relatively speaking, of course. And so, fine. Chiefs want to come into the Superdome and put up 100 points. Cool. No sweat off my back if I'm Sean Payton, because I think the like plastic film has already been peeled off for the Saints, if that makes sense.
But here's the thing. Sean Payton has said that Taysom Hill is the next Steve Young, right? Like, he's the guy. He's
so
the
offended
man. He's going to be awesome. Well, then you can't just, you know, mail one in, for lack of a better term. He's got to look good, because otherwise you look like an idiot. You kind of put yourself out there like that. And so I feel like you can't just say, well, it doesn't really matter because we're probably not going to get the one seed, so that's okay. Because Taysom's got to look good or you look foolish.
I do think this is a game of extremes for the Saints. We either get the super ragtag bunch that Sean Payton has been coaching for the last 3-4 years that finds a way, right, in the face of all this adversity, even against the mighty Chiefs, or just like total combustion, oh, we got exposed last week, we're severely exposed now, or the Buccaneers somehow now in the mix for the NFC South. What are the questions about Taysom Hill? It's one or the other. It's not going to be like a game that Kansas City wins on a last second field goal, unless they play down, which they have done this season, to be fair.
I don't think they're going to play down. I think they're going to light up the Saints defense. I'm not sold. When they've played a really good quarterback, they've given up a lot of points. They gave up 27 to Justin Herbert. They gave up 37 to Aaron Rodgers. They gave up 34 to Derek Carr. And they gave up 29 to Matt Stafford. Like, the teams that they have beat up on, except for the Buccaneers, have been largely cupcakes, including the Denver Broncos, who didn't even have a quarterback in the game. So I'm not buying this Saints defense as a really good team. I'm sorry. I don't think they're bad. I think they're okay. And I think that they're going to get exposed.
Is there even a Saints win this season, that a non-Buccaneers Saints win this season that you deem to be impressive? Because, I mean, like, you could look at the whole schedule to a degree and say, that's just a bunch of lamos. You know what I mean? If you were really, really, really trying. Yeah, I mean, they lost to the Packers. You know, like, that's the measurement for me.
They lost to the Packers. They lost to the Raiders. you look at that schedule, even the Buccaneers win. I mean, it was a dominant win. So that is sort of impressive. But if that's your one on the schedule, yeah, like, I don't think it's unfair to knock them for that. I don't look at them as a juggernaut by any stretch.
Stats hates the Saints.
Accurate. I do hate the Saints. I openly admit it. I hate them. I do not like Sean Payton. I do not like Drew Brees. I do not like them sitting down. I do not like them dressed as a clown. I don't remember what the rhyme was, but I openly admit it. But I still think I can be somewhat objective. Have I said anything unfair about the Saints?
No. I do think that Sean Payton has a resume in general, but specifically over the last, you know, the run that we've mentioned, the like painful playoff heartaches. Last year's playoff loss to the Vikings was hardly painful. They just got beat, right? It didn't have that like seminal moment, but except unless you want to call the Kyle Rudolph touchdown that. But he's a future Hall of Famer. Like Sean, he is. And especially like when you factor in the narrative of what he and Drew Brees have done for that organization, like he's getting a gold jacket. That part is not up for debate. But in the here and now, they are a little bit of a paper tiger. Like it's a construction paper tiger, like a thicker form of paper. You know what I mean?
It's an oak tag tiger.
Right, exactly. Like a poster board.
So the Chiefs are giving 2.5 in this game. What do you like?
I will take that. The Chiefs line could be anything, and I would take it. I know that did not work 2 weeks ago against the Broncos. Congrats, you covered. But the Chiefs are just, they're a monster right now, and I think that they'll continue to be a monster.
And I think that they're going to get up for this game because they're playing the Saints. They're 10-2, like it's, or 10-3, whatever their record is. Like they're not going to play down to them because they're going to play a cream of the crop in the NFC. And for all they know, it could be a preview of the Super Bowl. So yeah, I think they'll be fine. I'll give you the points. I'll feel pretty comfortable about that one. Next game up on the list, the Seattle Seahawks. They are 9-4. They are playing the Washington football team. Seemingly looks like a mismatch, RJ, but Washington has won 4 straight. A win would get them to 500. They sort of have the respectability of the NFC East on the line. And the strength of their team, the defense, I think could be a real problem for Russell Wilson and the Seahawks.
So similar to the last game where we had the second-ranked offensive DVOA going up against the second-ranked defensive DVOA, this is the fourth-ranked offensive DOA in terms of the Seattle Seahawks and the fourth-ranked team by defensive DOA in the Washington football team. So some really interesting particular matchups at different points throughout the weekend. I think if Seattle had not lost to the Giants, I don't know that anybody gives Washington too much of a prayer here. The Alex Smith factor is certainly concerning. Right now, we don't know what that situation is going to wind up being. I believe he did not practice on Wednesday. And obviously, that would change the conversation as a whole. I don't have any doubts, and I'm sure that you would agree after last week's love affair in Arizona. I don't have any doubts that Washington is the best team in the NFC East. I don't have any doubts that Washington's going to win the NFC East. I don't think they win this football game just because I think Seattle's offense is far more likely to click. And even if they don't click throughout the entire game, I don't think that Washington's offense can do enough. I know that they've had impressive wins against Pittsburgh, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I think that Washington's time in the full-on sun of the NFC East, getting some caps and t-shirts, will start next week with a rivalry renewed against the Carolina Panthers for Ron Rivera.
I don't think Washington has much of a chance in this game. If Alex Smith doesn't play, they have no chance in this
sure.
game. There is no chance Dwayne Haskins is going to outduel Russell Wilson. I will say, especially by the way, Washington scored 23 points last week against my 49ers without an offensive touchdown, which is incredible, but their offense is not exactly rolling. I want to ask you, because the Seahawks looked awesome against the Jets last week, but who doesn't look awesome against the Jets?
Right.
Are you willing to say, hey, Russell Wilson's back now, he's rolling? Because he was really struggling before that game.
I think that Russell Wilson is back in terms of who Russell Wilson is, which is already an elite quarterback, right? I think that Russell Wilson was like, you know, NBA Jam on fire at the beginning of the season. I don't think that Russell Wilson is back. In the here and now, and let me be clear, Russell Wilson is maybe my favorite non-Cowboy in the NFL at the moment. One of my favorite non-Cowboys of all time, by the way. In the here and now, I would take Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers over Russell Wilson. I would take Josh Allen over Russell Wilson right now. That wasn't the case earlier in the season, but it is right now. And a lot of that is how great Josh Allen's playing. But just Russ is just normal Russ, which is still very good. But Josh Allen's at an elite level right now, and that's kind of where he falls for me.
Russ, I will say unequivocally, and I have told Russell Wilson this to his face, I hate his guts. Now, I will also say I think he's the second best quarterback in the league. I think it's Mahomes 1 and Russ 2, and it's actually pretty close. I think they're both insanely good.
I agree it's closer than most say and most realize when they talk about that. I agree with that.
Yes. Washington's D-line, though, is no joke. And it's not like the Seahawks have a great offensive line. I expect him. This is not going to be a walk in the park day for Russell Wilson. Like, it's going to be one of those crazy, Russ has to make all these awesome plays. Like, Seattle may win by 2 touchdowns, but I think it's going to be plays like where Russ is shrugging guys off and then just launching those moon balls to Metcalf for touchdowns.
I think this has the potential, and you've seen a lot of these, to be kind of a Seahawks-Rams game from Aaron Donald's earlier years, you know, like a struggling offense that sometimes just did enough. If Washington wins, especially without Alex Smith, it's going to be like an 18-16 score. You know what I mean? It's going to be something weird and wonky. But I agree. I think like 96 times out of 100, I would lean with the fact that I think Seattle's just going to destroy them. I do think this, if you are a gambling person, and I know that, you know, the cheat sheet will cover this as well. This is the chance to, if you want to bet on Washington to win the NFC East, wait for this game to finish, especially if Seattle crushes them, because Washington's going to win this thing. So let those odds go back in your favor, get better shots, whatever. And then, you know, buy your ticket and cash out later. Thank me later. No big deal.
This game for Seattle is they have nothing to gain and everything to lose. If they win, people will be like, eh, okay, that's what we expected, good. But if they lose, if you're a Seattle fan, you're like, what's going on? We lost to the Giants. We're losing to Washington. You know, Russ had that one good game against the Jets, but he's kind of been scuffling. Like, I feel like the panic flags go up if the Seahawks lose this game.
I also think, and I think the NFC West is fascinating. We've talked about this a lot with how each team, except for the Cardinals, kind of has one of the other team's number. And I would imagine that it's difficult for the Seahawks not to look ahead to the Rams game next week, especially given that fact. And I bet it's probably been difficult for the Seahawks to not have been looking to that Rams game since last week, right? Oh, we just got the Jets and Washington before the real game starts, right? And, you know, if you lose this game, they're making the playoffs, but your life is dramatically impacted. We could, by the way, Stats, see this game in a month. I mean, this could be a wild card round game. Seattle at Washington, just like it was Russell Wilson's rookie year.
Seahawks are giving 5.5. I have no problem giving 5.5 points. Are you going to be bold and take Washington, or are you once again going to copy me with my pick?
I just told you that Russell Wilson's my favorite non-Cowboy in the NFL. I know your other co-host likes to pretend that he feels that way too. I have a Russell Wilson jersey, Stats. All right? I'm taking the Seahawks all day long.
I can't support that. In fact, I was given a Russell Wilson jersey, and it never entered my home. I took it out of the mailbox. Somebody bought it. Mike Florio bought it for me. I told him not to do it. He bought it for me. I don't know what he thought was going to happen. I took it out, opened the package, saw what it was, walked over to the dumpster, spit on it, and threw it in the garbage.
I had a friend that went to Ohio State, and she would pick up the Michigan, you know, letters with like tongs and go throw them away. She refused to touch them. If the Seahawks cover, I will wear my Russell Wilson jersey when we record next week. Just for you.
Yay, there's something to look forward to. All right, one more game before we take our break. That is Bears and Vikings, both teams 6-7. The Bears, you know, I honestly didn't think the Bears were going to win a game the rest of the season. They get the win last week. All of a sudden, Mitchell Trubisky throws 3 touchdown passes. People are starting to get excited. And here's the Minnesota Vikings, RJ. They just are not going away. Kirk Cousins is hanging tough. He's doing everything he can to keep this team in the playoffs. What is the biggest storyline to you in this game?
Well, I've been writing for the Vikings on Monday Football Monday, one of the best shows on the SB Nation NFL show, like the Oddcast, like the Look Ahead. I'm trying to, this whole kindness thing, Stats.
Fan the feud. Fan the flames or shut up.
I feel inspired by Kirk Cousins, who is the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing going. The Vikings would have won their last week's game against the Buccaneers if Dan Bailey was not one of the worst kickers in the NFL. My heart breaks for him, former Cowboys legend. And I think, Stats, that Kirk is kind of turning into Twitter's quarterback, which is a very weird thing. I don't know if you saw this on Wednesday. Chad Graff of The Athletic tweeted out a Kirk Cousins quote of sorts that really kind of, speaking of fanning the flames, got draft and analytical minds just running wild. Kirk said one of the hidden stats that's important at the end of the year is quarterback sacks relative to dropbacks. Cousins said, again, from Chad Graff's tweet from The Athletic, I really do feel it's a big quarterback stat as well. I fall in the camp that believes sacks are more of a quarterback stat than an offensive line stat. It seems like you agree. So Kirk is this dude that just gets it. Like, he's vanilla and sweater vesty and golden doodly, but he's kind of a baller. And I think that they are going to drop the hammer on the Bears, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Kirk is, I think he operates at an elite level from the neck up. He doesn't operate from an elite level from the neck down. That's his biggest problem. There are just physical limitations he has, mainly mobility, that are only going to, they're going to create a ceiling for him. But I mean, the dude can play. Like, he's not the best quarterback in the league, but I tried to come up with a quick, like, top of my head, top 10 list. I think Kirk's in the top 10 this year.
Who are they? So let's see. You have Mahomes, Russ, Rodgers. That, and we'll throw Josh Allen in there, so we're at four. And if Deshaun. We're talking Deshaun, are we talking like guys that are playing? So like my guy Dak Prescott's not eligible, or are you counting Dak?
I didn't have Dak in my list.
How dare you?
I'm thinking just this year.
I will allow that, but I'm pissed. I mean, okay, so moving on. Justin Herbert, I would say for this year, Baker Mayfield. Lamar Jackson, we have forgotten. Yeah, I mean, Kirk easily makes this list. I mean, like, this, if we start factoring Dak, you know, if we start factoring in Drew Brees, although now Kirk's a better quarterback than Drew Brees. I don't know why I even said
right now. I think he is.
He has been. I mean, Drew's not like washed. That's an aggressive way to put it. But Kirk is a baller, man. And you're right. Like, Kirk embraces a lot of things and is so both self-aware and unself-aware that it just doesn't matter. Like, he doesn't care how stupid or silly he looks. He's just Kirk Cousins.
Yes. And here's the thing, like, sometimes guys do stuff and we're like, yep, that confirms what I thought. Like, he had three picks against Atlanta earlier in the year, and everyone's like, ah, Kirk Cousins, you know, they were losing games, they were terrible, he stinks, what a terrible deal, yada yada. Since then, in the seven games since then, he has 16 touchdowns and two picks. Like, he has been on fire. Dalvin Cook's missed time. Adam Thielen's missed game. Like, it doesn't matter. He is getting it done right now. I mean, Dan Bailey missed four kicks, three field goals, and an extra point last week, and the Vikings lost by 10. Like, that ain't Kirk Cousins' fault.
Kirk is a baller. Put some respect on his name. And cool, the Bears got a win over the Texans. Nice. You got to have some fun radio segments this past week where you made it seem like drafting Mitch Trubisky wasn't the biggest mistake in franchise history. It was, and you are bad. And this is, we've been kind of like talking about, this is the Matt Nagy oh crap game, right? Like, it is a Vikings beatdown situation away from this getting really bad, because like the bleeding got stopped for the Bears, the losing streak ended, but guess what? You played a really unorganized Texans team that just is so dysfunctional. Even Deshaun Watson couldn't bring them back to life. Now you're playing a functional team with a really smart quarterback and a defense is going to punch Mitchell Trubisky in the mouth.
Yeah, like, you root for, or you cover a team in the NFC. I root for and cover a team in the NFC. Are you scared at all? Do you spend any of your time worried about what Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are going to cook up in Chicago? Like, no, I do not.
Well, some of the Cowboys' more humiliating losses have come against the Bears' stats, to be honest with you. But a lot of that is the ineptitude of the Cowboys. Last year, they made Mitchell Trubisky look rather functional. They made the Mark Trestman Bears look extremely functional 7 years ago. So to your point, do I think that normal NFC teams fear the Bears? No. But I think the Cowboys find a way because that's who they are.
The Vikings are favored by 3.5 in this one. Are you going to be bold?
I just said a lot of nice things about the Vikings. The worst thing that they have going for them is Dan Bailey. I will take Minnesota to cover, but I think that Dan Bailey might screw us over here, and they only win by three because he misses an extra point or something wonky.
Yeah, that extra half point is definitely giving me agita right now. It's not something, that kind of kicking performance is not something you just shake off. Like, that sticks with you. I just can't do it. I have no respect for the Bears whatsoever, so I'll give the points, but I don't feel comfortable about it. I'm not liking that one.
Well, good for you, Stats. Way to be brave.
All right, let's take a break. We've still got one other game we want to dive into, and then we're going to get to our lightning round, so we'll hit all the other games. Don't worry, we'll get to everything in this week 15.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Next up, RJ, for us, the 8-5 Buccaneers, the 4-9, let me make that much worse than they actually are, 4-9 Falcons. Atlanta's officially been eliminated from playoff contention. The Bucs are trying to hang on to the 6th seed right now. I never know what Buccaneers team we're going to get. Which one do you think shows up this week?
So I saw something that kind of, I don't know, it made me feel things. Do you agree that the Bucs are overhyped in general?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Right. Okay. I've made my feelings about Bruce Arians very well known. And so I do think that they are a lot of, puff and smoke, right? Like, it's the Bucs and all the players. Everyone wants to play for the Bucs and Tampa Bay and no state tax and whatever. But Stats, I referenced offensive and defensive DVOA earlier when we talked about the Saints-Chiefs game and the Seahawks-Washington game. Do you know that the only team who is in top five of both offensive and defensive DVOA is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? They're the only team in the top five in both.
And?
I just think that that's important. I think that that's, that's worth mentioning. That's, they're not like this total fraud team, I guess. And that's, I think we tend to look at them that way. Like, we tend to look at the Bucs as this, oh, they just get all this hype because they got Brady and Gronk and Antonio Brown. And I think that they're a more functionally complete team than I think we want to give them credit for, which is a bitter thing to say.
It is so funny that you bring that up, because the question I wrote down in my notes is the fact that the Buccaneers are fighting for a playoff spot make them a failure already?
See, like that, and like, the expectations were very high, and you can't change that, and it's fair that they were. But again, they are, and like, check this out. So these are the top five offense, or the top four, because the Bucs are number five by offensive DVOA. The Packers are number one. Defensively, they're 20th. The Chiefs are number two. Defensively, they're 18th. The Titans are number three. Defensively, 26th. The Seahawks are fourth offensively and 19th defensively. The other side of that coin, the number one defensive DVOA is the Steelers. They rank 20th in offense. The Saints have the second-ranked defensive DVOA, as we discussed, only 8th in offense. So not, like, terrible, but still. The Washington football team, who we mentioned earlier, have the 4th-ranked defensive DVOA. They are 29th by offensive DVOA. The only team that overall comes close to the Buccaneers is who, in your mind? We haven't really talked about them so far today.
I don't know.
It will make you upset. It's the Los Angeles Rams. They have the 3rd-ranked defense by DVOA and the 6th-ranked offense by DVOA. So they have both in the top six, but the Bucs are the only team in the top five. And so that's impressive.
I mean, okay, I'm not going to lie. I don't totally know what DVOA is, but wasn't there a year where the Chargers were like number one in offense and defense and missed the playoffs?
It's not, no statistic is infallible or, complete, but the point is they're an incredibly efficient team. And I think that we just, we expected them and we continue to expect them to win every week. Like, we expect them to be the Chiefs because they have the names, right? But they're just not. And I think the fact that they're even this good, despite all of the circumstances, and granted they have an overwhelming amount of talent, speaks to how good they ultimately really are. I still do think that they're probably an easier out than any other competitor, either in the NFC or AFC, but I think that they're a pretty good football team. And, you know, last week they looked good, but they also barely won because of Dan Bailey. And so my point is, like, I can talk myself into the Bucs being, you know, legitimate or being fraudulent, but there's data to support something somewhat closer to the middle.
I totally think that I could be biased against them. Like, the eye test is the worst possible test, I feel like. It is not right. Objective. It is influenced by a zillion things. And maybe I'm being influenced by all the names that they have there. When I look at the Bucks, I see a team that's less than the sum of its parts.
Right. That's fair. I think that they are like, you have an iPhone, Stats? I'm pulling the curtain back. Everybody's learning about your life. What's the anyway? But so, like, you ever go from, like, the iPhone, like, I don't know what they're on, but like the iPhone 7 to the iPhone 8, and it costs money, and you have to do all the stuff, and it's like, this is basically the same thing. Like, you know, it's not, you know, why am I paying all this money? You know, that's kind of who the Bucks are, right? I don't want to say it's like a slightly different thing because they are far more successful this year than last year, but it's not the, like, it's not this, like, going from, like, an old, you know, like Saved by the Bell phone to an iPhone. Like, you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. They're a very, very unique team in that capacity.
You could argue that the only difference between this year's Bucks and last year's Bucks is the fact that Tom Brady's not throwing 30 interceptions.
That's fair.
Like, could they have done this with another quarterback that's not Tom Brady? Maybe.
I know this is a bit of a sore subject for you, but has Tom Brady been sort of relegated, or not relegated, but is he not just to his Buccaneers team what, like, Jimmy Garoppolo was to the 49ers last year? Like, he's just a dude. I mean, not a dude, but I mean, he's a far more functional dude than any dude would ever be. But he's not this, like, you know, like when, you know, Ronaldo joined Juventus, like, they immediately became like a superpower. That didn't happen here. And I think that's like we talked about LeBron earlier. When LeBron joined the Lakers, like, they immediately became a superpower. That didn't happen here. They became a little bit better. But they were already kind of good. It's a weird, weird sort of middle ground to be in.
Yeah. And the weird thing is, Brady can still make some plays. And when he does make those plays, people will make it into, like, that he is making them into a superpower when he's really not. Like, he makes more bad plays than good one, I think, most weeks. But he still can make a deep throw down the field to Gronk every once in a while, or like a good read or whatever. Like, he still makes some nice plays. But yeah, I mean, he is far, far removed from the guy we saw even in his last few years with the Patriots.
I agree with that. You mentioned earlier that it's snowing in your neck of the woods. It's that time of year. I'm drinking a lot of tea at night, like hot, warm
solid
tea. And to me, it's like sometimes, and I'm talking like a standard coffee mug's worth of tea. Sometimes I will double bag it for no reason other than that I just feel like it in that moment, right? And it's really not that big of a difference from like a single bag effort. And that's kind of what they are. Like, it's another, like, the Gronk of it all and everything. It's the second bag added for no reason. But because there's a second bag, I feel like the taste should be all more powerful. And it's really not.
That is the weirdest analogy. First of all, when you say standard coffee mug, are you going like, because I go with the big tall mugs in this house. We don't have those regular mugs. Those are for amateurs.
I mean, it's like a, like what you would find at like a coffee shop. I don't know like the ounce measurement of it, but it fits in your hand. Like, it's the kind of mug that you put your hand through the handle and it like fits perfectly there. Are you saying yours are like a Stein? Is that what, like Das Boot? Is that what you have for your tea?
Look, we don't screw around in the Guerrera household, all right? We go extra. I think they're like 20 ounces.
What's your go-to tea? Like, I don't know if they're called flavors or whatever, but like your tea bag of choice.
I like Earl Grey. I'm an Earl Grey
man.
Oh,
my gosh. Okay. Well, I like actually, I'd probably get more roasted for this. I like candy cane flavored tea. It's really nice and subtle.
Candy cane What do you have? Sleepy time?
It's Christmas, Stats. I mean, geez.
I don't want to drink a candy cane. I don't even want to eat a candy cane.
Are you one of these, like, I don't like holiday treats people? You don't like Christmas cookies or candies or things like that?
Christmas cookies are great. I just don't like candy that tastes like ass.
Well, there's a drop if I've ever heard one.
Are we recording? All right.
Anyway, the Bucks are a weird team. Thank goodness the Falcons are the candy that tastes like it.
They really are. The Bucks are giving 5.5. I'm taking the Bucks. I took all favorites this week. This is sad.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bucks as well. But I really do think I'm fascinated to see their playoff route. That can really change a team's fortunes, obviously. And so if they have to play the Packers early on, if they have to play even the Rams early on, I think that will really influence a lot of how we view this. We're all trying to like quickly measure who won, right? That will very, very, very much impact this discussion, and the discussion is going to be forever, even though it has nothing to do with it, which is the way football goes.
Do you think the Bucs have a weird advantage that most warm weather teams don't have in the fact that Brady's played in New England for 2 decades, so if they did have to go on the road to a cold weather place, like, he's going to be just fine?
I think that's a really interesting discussion, because the only thing I can properly compare it to is the inverse effect that Peyton Manning felt, right? I mean, had to start wearing gloves and, you know, really kind of felt that be a factor, and maybe. But I don't know, like, it would also feel unnatural to watch the Bucks play a really cold game. Like, I just don't feel like weather would allow that situation to unfold. You know, like it wouldn't be right. But there's a lot of people like on the subject of that want to see like a Bucks Packers playoff game. I don't really need to see that. Like, that doesn't strike me as compelling. That's the thing. Like, you can't really find the Bucks are that. I know I've had a billion analogies with the Bucks, but they're that channel that you never watch. Like, it's like a premium channel, but you're never like in the mood for that. They're a weird team this year.
Yeah, they're not like. Going into the season, I thought they were going to be like the star attraction. I was like, put them on prime time. Like, let me see them. And yeah, you're right. Like, I'm not really dying. There's a million teams I'd rather watch with a much worse record than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, for sure.
Totally. And there are teams that you hate watch, and they're not even that. Like, the Patriots were like a hate watch team. You know what I mean? But like, they don't even have that factor. And like, even with all the stories, it is what it is.
I think we're numb to it. Like, I don't think anybody wants to see Tom Brady win another Super Bowl, unless you're a Bucks fan. The rest of us are kind of like, eh. But he's also won so many, it's like, all right, if he gets one more, you know, you're kind of apathetic at this point.
Yeah, like, the damage is done. It's like, right. I never understood the people that were rooting for the Eagles, like the Cowboys fans, like, oh, no, the Patriots are going to have 6 trophies. What are we going to do? It's like, well, you just catch them. That's it. That's all you do. Like, if the Eagles win one, they have it forever. That was the dumbest thing of all time.
If I have to hear the quest for 6 one more time with the 49ers and winning a Super Bowl, I'm going to commit a felony. It drives me nuts. Every time we say it, we lose the damn Super Bowl.
We're there too, Stats. It hurts.
Let's get to the lightning round. First up, the Las Vegas Raiders and the Los Angeles Chargers. No Henry Ruggs in this game. He was placed on the COVID list. The Raiders are given 3.5.
I've been taking the Chargers for a few weeks now. Hasn't totally worked, but it worked last week. I'm riding that again. I think the Raiders are just that bad. I think the Chargers are a bit of a disaster, but I think the Chargers have the best player in this game in Justin Herbert, so I'll take LA.
A bit of a disaster. Anthony Lynn, his clock management is inexplicable. 2 weeks in a row, his team has had the ball with either 30 seconds left in the half or 30 seconds left at the end of the game, and no timeouts, and it's been third down. And 2 weeks in a row, they have run the ball on third down and then not been able to get the field goal team out on the field to get points. Like, how that happens once is mind-boggling. Twice is incredible, and 2 weeks in a row defies description.
I know. I completely agree with you, and I feel bad about picking the Chargers, but that's who the Raiders are. The Raiders are the team that loses to the team that you just described. That's just who they are.
That said, I'm taking the Chargers and the points. I agree. Herbert's the best player on the field. Buffalo and Denver. The Bills are rolling at this point, although Drew Lock looked really good last week throwing 4 touchdown passes. It is Bills by 6.5.
Drew Lock, Schmoo Lock. I took the Buffalo Bills. You can see that pick on the SB Nation Instagram story on Thursday, the day this episode drops. This is my team, Stats. Through the end of this playoff run, I'm a Bills dude for now. I am a part of the mafia. I'm enjoying it. There's something about, like, I don't know if you feel this way about the Bengals, but like the fact that the Cowboys beat the Bills in the Super Bowl, I just feel like I want to comfort them. You know what I mean? And just be part of them. Like, I feel accepted and embraced by the mafia.
No, no.
Okay. First of all, I hate that you have like adopted a team. You can't just adopt the team. The whole point of liking a team and rooting a team is when they do win, you go on that run with them, right? You get that.
Sure, but they're the team of the teams that are going to be in the dance. This is the one I want to see dance in the longest. That's kind of what it is. I'm sure there's a team you feel that way about.
No, there is not. In fact, I hope the Super Bowl is canceled this year and nobody plays it and nobody wins it and the 49ers are the reigning NFC champions for another year because they should be because of injuries. But we're getting way off topic. I will take Buffalo and give the points.
My team!
Oh, God. All right. Moving on. The other Saturday game this week. By the way, I love Saturday football.
Poinsettia football.
Yeah, like it goes along with that whole thing you were talking about. Give me the Saturday football. I will take it. It makes it feel more special. This one is Carolina at Green Bay. 8.5 points the Packers are giving up. I like Carolina. I really like them as a program, but I think Rodgers is rolling right now.
Best team in the NFC, deserving champion of 2020. Give me the Packers all day long.
No Christian McCaffrey more than likely too, which is the Packers' biggest weakness is the ground game. So yeah, I will take Green Bay. This is sad, RJ, but our two teams relegated to the scrum at 1 o'clock. The NFL is hoping no one notices they're playing this game. I don't know why or how, but the 49ers are favored by more than a field goal, 3.5 points. I don't know if Vegas is just not watching them because they were favored against Washington and lost, and they were favored against Buffalo and got their doors blown in.
I think those were definitely some mysterious events. But it's warranted in this particular contest. The 49ers are a bad football team. We agree there. The Dallas Cowboys are a worse football team. I think, the last time the 49ers visited the Cowboys stats was in 2014. That's nuts. Like, it really is crazy. I think they've only played each other twice in AT&T Stadium, which is just absurd given their longtime history. I will take Frisco. I don't think it's close. And the Cowboys get all much closer to a top five pick.
I remember that game against the Cowboys. Vernon Davis caught a nice touchdown pass early in the game from Colin Kaepernick. Anyway, I was so looking forward to this game at the beginning of the year, and I was saying it could still happen. I wanted either Deebo Samuel or Brandon Ayuk to score a touchdown and run to the star at midfield just like T.O. did back in the day and just start that whole Niners-Cowboys rivalry back up. Now it seems to have lost a little juice because they're both terrible teams. But I can't pick the 49ers. I cannot do it. And I have no faith in them. They need every part of their offense and everyone on their offense to do their job perfectly on every play if they have any hope of sustaining a drive. So that means that needs to happen 10, 11, 12 plays in a row for them to score points. And that never happens because the team stinks. Give me the Cowboys and I'll take the points.
Wow. We are picking each other's teams. This is what 2020 has done to us, Stats. Wow. Hate to see it.
These are the dark times. New England travels to Miami, a place they historically have not played well, even with Tom Brady. Miami is favored by 2 points in the game, the rare two-point spread.
Yeah, that's what they called Monday Night Football. But, I think that it's going to shock you a bit. I'm going to take New England. I know there's all the reason in the world to take Miami. We talked a lot about Bill Belichick against rookie quarterbacks, and he was able to stifle Justin Herbert. No disrespect to Tua. I think that Justin Herbert is a better NFL player at the moment. I think that Miami's really going to struggle in this game, and this is going to be, I think, one of the finer moments from Bill Belichick this season. A season that has been full of fine moments, honestly, from a coaching perspective. I'll take the Patriots.
This game is really close. I do like Belichick in this game just because he knows Brian Flores. He's got experience there. I don't know what to make of Cam Newton anymore as a quarterback.
Right.
Like, I was tempted to say he's the better quarterback. I'm not really sure. I think this game is going to be close, but I agree with you. If I'm getting points and I'm getting Bill Belichick, I'll take New England and feel pretty good about it.
When was the last time opposing quarterbacks both wore the number one?
Jeez. On the top of my head, I have no idea. I do not like quarterbacks that wear number one, by the way.
Warren Moon.
I don't know something about it. Yeah, I know Warren Moon, and he was great, but I don't know. Maybe Cam has ruined it for me. Like, I'm not a big Cam guy. I just, number one with the quarterback, it just strikes me as just very, like, look at me. I don't know. I don't know why
he picked it. Because he wore two at Auburn, but I believe Jimmy Clausen had two with the Panthers when Cam was drafted. So it wasn't Cam's fault. And look at you,
Hayden. Last I recall, Jimmy Clausen did not last long in Carolina.
That's true. Shout out to the Fighting Irish.
God. Didn't Mel Kiper say he would retire if Jimmy Clausen was not a great quarterback?
He did.
By the way, you know who has the same agent as Jimmy Clausen?
You.
Mel Kiper.
Okay, right on.
Just throwing that out there. At least he did at the time. Jacksonville and Baltimore. I don't care if Lamar Jackson poops for three quarters. He's still got enough to beat the Jaguars.
Yeah, this is a rather large line, 13.5. By the way, all these lines, we went off of Wednesday's listings from the DraftKings Sportsbook. So if you're listening on Thursday or Friday and they've adjusted, this is what was on Wednesday. Stats, you've been afraid of the big lines, so I'm kind of surprised. You took the Jets last week against the Seahawks because you were so afraid. I will take the Ravens because, the reasons you just said.
I think the Ravens are embracing, finally, like, this is who Lamar is. Lamar just has to run the hell out of it. I think they tried to switch it up a little bit this year to throw people off balance. Early in the year, they didn't look right to me. I think now it's like, hey, it's December. We can't be screwing around anymore. We're not in the playoff. You know, we're fighting for a playoff spot. Just run like crazy, Lamar, and we'll figure it out. And it worked against the Browns. That's for damn sure.
It was a fun game on Monday night. You and BLG did a great job recapping it on the Oddcast. A fine production.
Is that a compliment for the Oddcast?
That's two so far today, like Lamar.
Detroit at Tennessee, a game that I do not want to spend very much time thinking about, talking about, and certainly won't spend a ton of time watching. Tennessee giving 10.5.
You're taking the Titans.
No, I'm taking the Lions.
Give me too.
Well, if Stafford plays, I know he's been banged up. He's got a rib thing. If he doesn't play, then I'll take the Titans. But if Stafford is in there, for sure, I'm taking the Lions.
We're going to make the graphic, Stats. So you're about to be married to this pick. I'm taking the Lions. I don't have a problem going out on a limb. Tennessee, we've seen the Titans play down to competition. I think that happens in this game. But I think they win. I just think the Lions come.
I agree. The best part of the Lions is their offense, and the worst part of the Titans is their defense. That gives me hope to cover such a large spread. Next up, Houston at Indianapolis. This one is pretty simple for me. The Colts are given 7.5. Indy looks like a team that has their stuff together. Houston looks like a team that doesn't know which way is up.
See, I kind of disagree with you. Similarly to the last game, I do think the Colts win, but they almost lost to the Texans last time. If not for, you know, a mental error late in the game, I think that could have gone a different way. And so I think the Colts win, but the Texans cover as well.
You are straddling that line. I mean... Houston got their doors blown off last week. Like, how does that happen when they have so far and away the superior quarterback?
Well, Mitchell Trubisky, the god. That's how.
Oh, God. Next up on the list, it is the Eagles, led by Jalen Hurts now, traveling to Arizona to play the Cardinals. Arizona's given 6.5. This game just got way more fun after what we saw out of the Eagles last week.
It did, and I can't believe I'm going to do this. I'm going to take the Eagles, and I think they win beyond cover.
Wow.
I think that they have – we've seen this, right? Like, you get a little bit of the right juice and the right mix, and, you know, guys play differently, whatever. But we both agreed, and I think everybody on the show every day has agreed, the Cardinals are a little bit of a cardinal fraudulent, like – I was trying to make a cardulent team. They are a little
good
bit of frauds.
Right,
right. Like, they beat the Giants. Cool. I mean, like, that's it. No big deal. And I think that a team with enough moxie like the Eagles have goes out to a place where another really bad team lost last Sunday and handles their business.
I'm going to pull an RJ in this one. I think that the Cardinals will win the game, but I think that the Eagles are going to cover the spread. 6.5 is a lot in this one. I don't think the Cardinals are that much better than the Eagles. I'm sort of buying into Jalen Hurts a little bit. I mean, it's only been 1 week, I know, but like, I'm kind of pulling for him to do well. Maybe it's just because I feel bad for BLG because he's just so disgruntled every week watching the Eagles play. But I'll take them to cover the spread, even though I'm not going to take them to win the game. Oh boy, another giant spread coming up next. The Jets and the Rams. The Rams are favored by 16.5 points. That is a huge NFL spread.
It doesn't matter. It's super easy. Trevor Lawrence is already doing media rounds. He was on the Dan Patrick Show on Wednesday getting ready for the limelight. He knows where he's going. He's going to the Jets. Give me the Rams all day long. I don't even have to think about this.
I think it's clear the only reason Madden Gase hasn't been fired yet is because the Jets want to ensure they get the number one pick, right? That's it. That's the only explanation.
Agreed. Yeah. It's a big, disgruntled mess, but it is a beautiful mess.
Yeah. I normally, when the spreads are this big, I feel like I got to take the points, but I can't do it this week. You burned me last week, Jets. I'll take the Rams. I'll give the 16.5 points. Next up, and this one's painful, RJ, it's the game that our teams were flexed out of, Sunday Night Football, Cleveland at the Giants, no Odell Beckham facing his old team in this one.
So, Stats, I believe, I could be wrong, this is the first Sunday Night Football home game for the Giants since Week 14 of 2016. That is crazy to me. It's been 4 years, and that kind of speaks to how irrelevant the Giants have been. Those were like the latter days of Eli. The Giants were a playoff team in 2016, to be fair. They beat the Cowboys in this game that I just mentioned, but there's no way they come even close. I think this is an ultimate beatdown. This is the Browns have been upset all week long that they lost after such a great performance, and they're going to just come open up a can on the Giants. No pun intended with Monday Night.
The Giants, I really thought, would put up a better effort last week, too. They kind of let me down a little bit. I was sort of buying into that Giants defense a little, but I agree with you. I think Cleveland is really good. Baker is absolutely cooking right now. I think they're sort of getting to the point now where they've had enough weeks with Kevin Stefanski where it's not a new offense anymore. They're playing more instinctually. Baker's, like, he's heating up. Hopefully he can keep it going, but I think even if he goes back to how he played earlier in the year, the Cleveland run game is just too strong. I will take the Browns, and I will give the points. One more game left on the slate, and man, this game would be a lot more fun if Joe Burrow wasn't out for the year. It's Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Steelers given 12.5 on Monday Night Football.
I thought about pulling a Stats and getting shy at the big spread. After watching the Bengals get destroyed by the Cowboys of all teams, I have absolutely no faith. This is a good game for the Steelers. Stop the skid and figure everything out. Get back to your winning ways and move on with the rest of the season. I'll take Pittsburgh.
This is a get right game. There is no way Mike Tomlin is losing this game, and Pittsburgh needs it because if they want to, you know, if they want that number one seed, you can't be losing to the Bengals in week 15. That is going to do it for this edition of The Look Ahead. I'm Rob Stats Guerrero. You can find me on Twitter at StatsOnFire. RJ Ochoa, you are on Twitter at?
RJ Ochoa. And Instagram if you want to see pictures of my dog.
Who wants to see pictures of your dog?
You take that back, Stats. You take that back right now. By the way, he's pretty pissed off. His name is Bear, and we spent a lot of time, no pun intended, dogging on the Bears.
I'll never understand the fascination with other people's dogs. But anyway, rate, review, and subscribe to the SB Nation NFL show. We love all your ratings and your reviews. Even if you give us a bad review, I'm still going to read it on the show. So if you want to just trash us, that's fine too. Like, we'll take it.
That's true. We will. Let Stats know that the Saints are his favorite team of all time. That's what I think you should do.
You know what? Come at me, Saints fans. I'm here for it. Bring it on. I will never like you. I will always criticize you for being a team with a Hall of Fame quarterback who went 7-9 multiple years in a row. Enjoy the games, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.